Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Again, we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, counsel, correction, and direction. Draw us unto you. Hide us in the secret place. Cover us with your wings and feed us from your throne room. As we repent for every sin, transgression, and lust of the flesh and pride of life. Every dead work, works of the flesh and selfish ambitions. Please, Master, search us, heal us, deliver us, free us from every entanglement. Position us to where it's no longer we that live, and grant us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and a heart to receive, that we may be about your business in truth, spirit, and in power, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. You know, being in the wilderness isn't all that bad. As long as you're willing to do whatever it takes. And we've talked about being in the wilderness, and we were talking about how God prepares us in the wilderness. And you know, one of the things that he establishes in the wilderness is priesthood, doesn't he? And in that, he's preparing the heart. We talked about our heart and how we need to surrender our heart. He said, give me your heart so that we can receive the heart of Christ. And the heart of Christ is the character of the Holy Spirit, associated with the mind of Christ. And in this, that's where we walk by faith, and not by carnal sight, but by spiritual sight. Because as a man thinks, so he is. And every thought has an image. So what we want is the image of the things of God, and not the image of the carnal, the image of the things of man. So in this, in the wilderness, God prepares us. And in this preparation, not only is he preparing us in the area of priesthood, but in the area of purifying us and removing the things from us and setting us free and removing all the attachment with worldliness. But in the wilderness, there is also a place, a preparation for us to enter our calling and destiny, which is actually our promised land. Now, would you turn to Psalm 24, please? One of the things that he's doing in the wilderness is he's establishing a holy habitation. He's establishing a holy habitation with his children. And if you really think about it, one of the things that he did was he was not only preparing a priesthood, but as he was preparing a tabernacle. And in Psalm 24, and starting to verse 1, would you read it with me? It says, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, and the world who dwell, and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a what? And a pure heart, because the Bible tells us that a pure heart, those with a pure heart will see God. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol and sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who what? Seek him, who seek your face. It says, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And the holy hill is where there is holy habitation. It is the presence of eternal God. And one of the things he said, who may approach, who may abide in this place, but he who has clean hands and a pure heart. And in this, there's an area where many times, even in believers, have blood on their hands and don't even realize it. And this is where our hands need to be cleansed from anything associated with blood. And I mean by blood in the area of unforgiveness, in the area of bitterness, in the area of disobedience to God by not warning someone. The Bible says if the Lord is telling you to warn someone and you don't warn that person, the blood is on your hands. But this is where it's so important about being led by the Spirit, isn't it? Because being led by the Spirit, we are sons of God. So what we must be led by the Spirit, not by emotion, led by the Spirit. For as a man thinks, so he is. But if your heart is pure, if your heart has been cleansed, if you've surrendered your heart and given your heart to the Lord, because he says, give me your heart, then you are receiving the heart of Christ. Anywhere you have shared your heart is an emotional attachment. And all of those things must be severed so that you can pull back your heart from anyone and anything and any idol that you have shared your heart with and give your heart back to the Lord so that you can make the exchange for the heart of Christ, because the heart expresses the character of your spirit. And by doing this, he says, listen, you'll abide in me and I will abide with you. I will make a holy habitation as long as your hands are clean and your heart is pure. Exodus 24. And this is one of the things that happens in the wilderness. Remember, there is preparation in the wilderness. You know, and in true reality, we're being prepared, aren't we? I mean, not only are we being prepared to fulfill what we're supposed to do now and do the things that God has established for now in our calling, but we're being prepared to meet the Lord. Exodus 24. Let's start at verse 1 then. Would you read it with me? And he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And the people answered with one voice, said, all words which the Lord he has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. And he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and the 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So what did he build? An altar, a place of sacrifice. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel, offered up burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. Now two things happen here, blood and covenant. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. Then Moses went up, also Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and commandments, which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and her are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now, I want to share something with you, because everything associated in the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. One of the things that the Lord was establishing now was a place of holy habitation. And in this, he said, only Moses was going to come up all the way. But even though Moses went up to a certain distance, he had to wait for 6 days because the Lord was doing a purification. And the cloud rested in that area. for 6 days. Six meaning man. So God was preparing a habitation for Moses, wasn't he? So everybody got it? How many of y'all know that you can walk in the presence of God and die? So, and it also represents, and I want to share with you, and on the seventh day, then the Lord called Moses up. In other words, representation of Sabbath, and seven being perfect and complete. Now, I want you to go a little bit further, because we know that the 7,000 years is going to be the reign of the millennium, isn't it? And where the tabernacle and the Feast of Tabernacle will be established on the earth for that whole 7,000th year. Has everybody got it? So all of these things were prophetically established in preparation, because the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. Is everybody okay? Let's go to verse 17. So the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now understand that this is powerful, because to Moses, he was only in that glory for about 5 minutes. Because one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. So to Moses, he was in there 5 minutes. The Lord was sharing with him certain things. He left. It was 40 days later. Why? Because he didn't eat or drink, did he? They ate and drank before. Then Moses goes in there. 40 days later, he comes walking out. No food and no water. Because to him, it was like 5 minutes. Hallelujah. In chapter 25 and verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me a what? Offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a what? Sanctuary, that I may what? Dwell among them. So what he was doing now, first of all, Moses, understand, I'm going to step back a little bit. Moses made an altar, didn't he? They did a sacrifice. They sprinkled the blood, purification, and they read the covenant, the words of the covenant with the Lord. Then he goes up, he waits 6 days, and he enters in. Look at all the things that's happening. What was the altar representation coming? The death and life of Christ. Has everybody got it? Which would bring what? A new covenant. Wouldn't it? Which, and after 6 days, remember, in the Word it tells us, and after 6 days that the Lord was transfigured. Meaning after 6,000 years, entering the 7,000 year. And the transfiguration is a representation of the rapture of the church, where the church will go home. And then the Lord will set up his tabernacle for 1,000 years in the 7,000th year, which is coming soon. Are you listening? So that's what we're waiting on, aren't we, right now? The next event is a rapture, and then there'll be the atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. So on this, he said, okay, now that you've done this, now I want you to bring me an offering. Now these offerings that he was accepting now was to build his tabernacle, so that there could be a holy habitation, because he wanted to dwell with his people. And according to all that I show you, this is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. And again, this is so powerful, a place to dwell, a holy habitation, right? God wanted to dwell with his people in the wilderness. How many of y'all know we're in the wilderness? Amen. How many of you know, all want to know, all know that God wants to dwell with you and be in you and flow through you? The holy habitation for now is individually and then globally. Because eventually he'll inhabit the whole world, won't he? The whole globe. And there'll have to be a purification, won't there? There was a purification at one time with the flood. And there'll be the next purification will come with the fire. Is everybody okay? Go to Exodus 15 and verse 11. Exodus 15 and verse 11. Let's read it together. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to where? Your holy habitation. He guides us to his holy habitation. Remember, right now that we're in the wilderness, first one thing he wants to do is begin to establish his holy presence, his holy habitation in us individually, a place corporately, and then eventually globally. In Deuteronomy 26, in verse 11, would you read it with me? So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, and you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. Now, you know, so many people don't realize that tithing is holy. It is holy. Listen, tithing is not an offering. Tithing is a command. It's not what we call giving. Tithing is not giving. Offering is giving. Tithing is a part of your life in Christ. To give so that the house of God can be built and so those can be fed. It is holy. I have removed the holy tithe from my house and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation. Now, where is he talking? Look down from your holy habitation, which is he saying? From where? Heaven. And bless your people Israel in a land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So in our wilderness experience is to build a habitation for the Lord. But one of the things he wants to do is you got to remember a holy habitation is a representation of heavenly. You know, I want to share something with you which is very important. You're either blessed or cursed. There's no in between. You're either blessed or you're cursed. That's it. The Bible tells us about blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and cursed is a man who what? Trusts in man. So you're either under the blessing, which all heaven is behind you, or you're under the curse, which is all hell behind you. Hello. And one of the things the enemy wants you to do is sow in the flesh so he can get you cursed. Because if he can get you cursed, he knows he has access to you. And the end result is hell until you come out of that curse. So everybody got it. Amen. So we want to be known as blessed. And in this area of being blessed, we're no longer in survival mode, we're in surrender mode. Because only the cursed are in survival mode. Because they're still trying to maintain when you and I are surrendering. You know, this is where we look back and totally trust in God in every area of our life. And our heart should be in that area of purity to want to know Him and to want to please Him. Not just to get something from Him. If you're an individual that's constantly trying to get something from God or doing things to get from God, then you ain't right with God. And your heart's not right. Are you listening? Because to give then is to receive. But what they did is they got together and they gave out of their heart offerings so that the tabernacle can be built. In other words, the holy habitation could be established. heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be what? Unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was who? Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became what? Our examples. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things happened to them as a what? Example. And they were written for our, in other words, our instruction. Upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to what? To bear it. So we see that during Moses' time, all of this was a shadow of what was to come. It was written and established for our example for now. For right now. All of the things that were happening then are for now. You know, it kind of blows my mind sometimes. In fact, it overwhelms me that all of these things were prepared. Why are we the ones that are born in this generation? You know, think about it. And in the area where we are the forerunners of the return of the Lord, why us? Think of all of them that have gone and passed and prepared and died and didn't even know exactly what was coming. And even those who prophesied things that were going to come and didn't even understand what they were prophesying. All for us right now. And we're seeing it happen before our eyes. It's an awesome time. An awesome time. Written, established with Moses. For our example, so that we can be instructed correctly. Go to Luke 24. Holy habitation. Luke 24. Okay. In verse 13. Is everybody there? Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they were conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now you got to remember, this is when Jesus rose from the dead. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Man, you don't realize how many times Jesus is talking to you through somebody, but you're looking naturally and not spiritually. And you can't see. And that's where the area we talked about exchanging the heart. See, because when the heart of Christ is established, you're able to see spiritually. And it's not until the heart of Christ is established that you're able to see spiritually. So everybody got it. And they couldn't see, could they? In verse 17, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? The one whose name was Calphaeus answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happen there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they have also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ who has suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And the beginning of what? The beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them and all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have to go afar. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us.'" What did they say? "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" This is so awesome in the area where the Bible tells us that, and one of the things he told Daniel, he said knowledge would increase in the latter days. One of the things I really believe that right now, scriptures are being opened like they've never been opened before. I believe that deep revelations of scripture is being opened like it's never been opened before, and it's going to ignite revival. Because there's going to be an enlightening. People are going to be able to see it. Something's going to change in the heart, where the heart of Christ is going to start to take its prominence. And I really believe right now that more and more of God's scriptures are going to be open, and deeper things are going to be revealed more and more and more. Now, Moses and all the prophets that spoke of him in past, I mean, God opened the scriptures. This is truly a sign that we are in the end days of all the things in the opening of the scriptures right now that we're having. See, true understanding of the deep things of God is happening right now. It's happening. We are in it. Go to Acts 28. Oh, hallelujah. Acts 28. And verse 22. Acts 28 and verse 22. Paul was in Rome and they wanted to speak to him. In verse 22 it says, "But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect we know that it is spoken against everywhere." So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the what? Law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. So this is powerful. In other words, the law of Moses and from the prophets. And why? Because Moses was out building the tabernacle, a holy habitation for God. And the prophets spoke as the Holy Spirit. Let me share with you that it isn't getting easier right now, is it? It's getting harder. I'm telling you, the attacks are harder than they've ever been. In thoughts, in physical attacks, in sicknesses. There's more attack now than ever. I've never fought off so many incidences of illnesses in 1 year in my whole life. But I'm telling you, there is a way, and there's only one way through this. And it is your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because He's the only one that will guide you to all truth. He's the one that will tell you things to come. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit is the only one who's going to open the Scriptures to you. He's the one that's going to visit you in dreams and visions. He's the one that's going to guide you in every area. Why? Because the heart of Christ is being established, and the heart of Christ being established is the Holy Spirit. And in this, you will be able to see spiritually. And you'll be led by the Spirit to see spiritually. Because if you're being led physically, you're blinded. And only through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that won't let you move anxiously. You know, your flesh wants things now. Wants it right now. I want to be healed now. Isn't there a place I can drive through and get healed? Isn't there a place I can drive through and get delivered? Isn't there a place where I can just deposit something and get cash back? That's not trusting in God. Remember, your desires will speak louder than the voice of God. That's why you must sever every desire. Every desire is an emotional attachment. Do you understand that? That's why they must be severed. That's why we must keep that heart pure so that we won't be misled, but we'll be led by the Spirit. So we'll purchase things when we're supposed to purchase. So we'll move when we're supposed to move. How many times did you do something and you regret you just did it, and God's trying to bring something to you and you can't do it now because of something that you did? And you would have sworn that God told you to do it. No, that was that desire that spoke. And this is where, if you don't know what to do, you wait. Why? Because waiting is enduring. I'd rather be led by the Spirit. I'd rather wait on God. Because the worst thing we can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Now, so we see Moses, now listen, Moses was out building a place for habitation, right? And the prophets were speaking of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was speaking through the prophets, and Moses was building the habitation. But see, the union together was Moses was building the habitation for the dwelling place of the holy presence of God. Is everybody okay? Again, he's speaking of the things of the Scriptures, that the deep things of the Scriptures are going to be revealed more and more. It's going to ignite something. And that ignition, explosion, atomic bomb going off within you, is going to cause you to seek God even more. See, one of the things that must be established is a love affair. See, God's presence is the most important thing. His presence outweighs his promises. See, people are fighting for the promises of God instead of the presence of God. That's why promises are delayed. Hello? If you'll fight for the presence of God, the promises of God will follow. Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scripture made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Now, what's faith connected to? The Holy Spirit. To God alone, wise be glory through Jesus Christ. Now, he's talking about revelation of the mystery kept secret for the obedience to the faith. In other words, again, faith is connected to the Holy Spirit, expressed through us by the heart of Christ from a holy habitation. Are you not the temple of the living God now? One of the things that God requires of us is not to be dirty. We must get cleaner. We can't be dirty. Touching agreement with things will bring dirt. The Bible says that sin removes or separates us from the presence of God. Sin is the presence of evil. So anything that is unclean is considered sin. We must be careful not to get dirty at all. That's why he says, come out from among them and be separate. And it's not just about the people, places, and things. It's about thoughts. It's about thoughts in that area. Come in agreement with those thoughts. It didn't say you wouldn't have goofy thoughts. Everyone in this room has goofy thoughts. But it's what you do with them. See, you can allow them to be burned as a memory, or you can cast them down. You can reject them and say no. But when you agree with them, they get burned. They're burned there. And that's just another thing you have to struggle with and overcome. See, you can't remove them, but you can replace them. So they're still burned. So you can't remove them, but you can replace them. And by removing, because you can't remove them, but you can replace them, that means you replace that thought with the thought of Christ. So every time that thought comes up, because it's burned now, you replace it with the thought of Christ. Has everybody got it? In John 15. John 15, in verse 5, holy habitation. Would you all read it with me? John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the what? The vine, and you are the branches. He what? Abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now this abiding is abiding in him. So by abiding in him, in other words, you are submitted, you are surrendered, and you are clean. Now he's abiding in you. For if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, am I what? Words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my what? Disciples. Now this is good, because he said, if you abide in me and my words, in other words, my voice, my commands, my scriptures. If they're abiding in you, and I'm not talking about memorization, I'm talking about living. Living. See, God is not looking at what you can memorize. See, it's not about memorization, it's about visualization, because faith is seen spiritually. That's why the Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, but when you hear it, you what? See it. You visualize it. And as a man thinks, so he is. In other words, because that thought's going to create a vision. It'll be burned in you. You'll see it. When somebody mentions something, you'll see it right away. Is everybody okay? And in this, what you see is what you will follow. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. That is faith. It's not assumption. See, assumption gets people in trouble. Then they blame God for not fulfilling what they heard because they went on blind faith. Blind faith is no faith. It's assumption. Yeah, I'm walking on blind faith. We are an idiot. Because blind faith is assumption. Has everybody got it? I didn't say about planting a seed. You plant a seed, right? Praise God. You water it, and who gives the increase? God. So by planting a seed, you're planting the seed in faith, aren't you? But you're planting the seed for a purpose, of something that you saw. If you're planting a seed without a purpose, then it won't bring you a harvest. Hello? If you plant a seed without a purpose, there is no harvest. That means you're planting seed for it to be taken and eaten. There must be a purpose for your seed to be planted. I don't know how we got on this, but praise God. Is everybody okay? Abide in the word spoken, written, and in his presence. To bear more fruit of the Spirit because of a holy habitation that dwells within you. Oh, praise God. I love it. We're abiding in his word. Things are being revealed. Go to John 5. John 5, yeah. Let's go to John 5. John 5, 37. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his words abiding in you because whom he sent him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. See, many people know the scriptures, but they don't obey them. The worst thing is to know the truth, but not obey the truth. That's not abiding. See, that's where people think memorization is abiding. They're more in love with the Bible than they are in the person. That is not a holy habitation. Just listen, your Bible is not holy. Hello? He is holy. That's why he's called, and what makes him holy? The Holy Spirit. And what makes you holy? The Holy Spirit. Not because you can memorize scripture. That does not make you holy. Then you got to be careful because it can make you very religious. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If anyone comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think I shall accuse you to the Father, where there is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Wow. Abiding in the word revealed by the Holy Spirit. See, they didn't believe Moses that in that area that testified of Christ. They didn't want to accept that. They didn't want to believe Moses' writings testified of Christ. And they did not want to believe that Christ testified of Moses' writings. So the Holy Spirit was speaking through Moses and the prophets of what was to come, of a holy habitation, that the Holy One, the eternal presence, power, and truth of the Almighty God, called the anointing, would come into the natural realm. But they couldn't see, could they? They couldn't see Christ. That's why they missed his visitation, didn't they? They couldn't see because they were dull. They couldn't see because their hearts were hardened. They become religious. They couldn't see spiritually. They only saw naturally. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. And that's where Jesus warned us about losing our first love, didn't he? Isaiah 57 and verse 14. Would you all read it with me? And one shall say, heap it up, heap it up. Prepare the way. Take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a what? Contrite and humble spirit. That's why the Bible said God rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Why? Because the spirit, because the heart is the character of the what? Spirit. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me and the souls which I have made. For iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of where? His heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is afar off and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked are like troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. A contrite and humble spirit is where he will abide. See, we must maintain our first love. It's like, again, the church, Jesus warned it, the church that lost their first love of Christ. But those who maintain the first love of Christ will actually bring revival. He will bring the revival through those who maintain their first love. You know, many people worship the temple and not the Lord of the temple. Many people worship the Sabbath, but not the Lord of the Sabbath. It's like a bride who becomes more devoted to the home instead of her husband. They're more concerned about ornamental things and all the things around instead of the relationship with their spouse. It's called losing their first love. Is everybody okay? Psalm 15. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? So why are you in the wilderness? Why are you in the wilderness? To prepare what? Holy habitation. Yeah. God's preparing us to enter our calling destiny, which is our promised land. But there's a holy habitation. And Psalm 15, would you read it with me? Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks what? Uprightly, that's one. And works what? Righteousness, that's two. And speaks the truth in his heart, that's three. He who does not backbite with his tongue, that's four. Nor does evil to his neighbor, that's five. Nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, that's six. And whose eyes a vile person is despised, that's seven. But he honors those who fear the Lord, that's eight. He swears to his own hurt, that's nine. And does not change, that's ten. Who does not put out his money at usury, that's 11. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, that is 12. Which means divine government. He who does these things shall never be moved. Does everybody got it? That is divine government. Why? Because that individual is abiding. Now he's become part of that divine nature with a divine government associated with him. Has everybody got this? These things established in your life, you will never be moved because now you are part of the divine government of God. Are y'all all right? Yeah. Now let's close at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God willing. Everybody there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Let's read it together. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we what? We groan. Man, did you ever get frustrated? Didn't you know why you are? Man, I don't get it. What's up? You're groaning, man. It's called growing pains. Because your spirit's beginning to outgrow your flesh. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is Daddy. He's called God. Who also has given us the what? Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, which is our real home. For we walk by faith, not by natural sight, but we walk by what? Spiritual sight. For we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, which is our home. So as we're going through the wilderness in preparation of going home, God is trying to maintain and establish a holy habitation in us. And the only way that you're going to maintain that is being directed by the Holy Spirit. That's why he's called holy. The Lord said, be holy, for I am holy. And discern what is unclean, unholy, clean, and holy. Discern those things. Not all things are profitable. Be careful what you put in your eyes and your ears and your heart. Be careful what you put in your mind. Be careful. Because you live in a dirty world. Everywhere you look is dirt. Keep yourself clean for a holy habitation of the living God, that he can flow through you and speak through you. Everything right now is in preparation to fulfill call, to fulfill destiny, and to fulfill His presence individually, corporately, and globally. Everything is being prepared for the return of the Lord. We are in it. We are the forerunners. It is our responsibility to maintain a sanctified life. Not go back, but go forward. Remember, we talked about also our trials in the wilderness is so that truth can get rooted. Be careful of pride. It's killer. Pride is just associating for fighting for the life of self. Stay surrendered. Don't worry about survival. The best place you can be is dead. Dead to self. Stay filled with the Spirit. Don't try to figure out everything. Just trust Him in everything. People who try to figure out everything are religious. Because they have to live on a need-to-know basis. My God don't operate that way. Are you listening? If you ain't moving until you know, are you listening? You don't have to understand why you're moving. Does that, amen. You don't have to understand everything. You just got to know that He told you to, and that's that. And then you're obedient to it. No matter what. Because so many times the enemy is going to bring things to try to prevent you. He's going to try to get discouraged, get you get discouraged, grumble and complain. Why? Because then he can steal. See, if he can cause you to sow in the flesh, he knows he can get you off course. But the Word tells us that the thoughts of the Lord are good for us. I mean, His plans and everything for us are to prosper us. He desires to heal us. He desires to prosper us. He desires to, but the one thing He wants to do is get you in position so that all of these things can happen. But the enemy will do everything he can to get you out of position so you miss God. See, we have to cooperate with Him. He doesn't cooperate with us. We're to serve the anointing. The anointing doesn't serve you. We're to be stewards of the mysteries of God, ambassadors of the kingdom, and servants of the anointing. In that, that means you don't have a life. And the only life we live is the life of Christ. That's what you're supposed to be fighting for. So that a holy habitation can be established, not only in you, but your home, your dwelling, and everything you do. Amen? Is everybody okay? So we're going to be in the wilderness all the way to the rapture and then the wrath. This is it. So you're going to have to speak to the rock sometimes to get a drink. I think you're going to have to speak to the rock every day for everything. He's a provider. You have to speak to Him for healing and provisions. But He will drop manna. Now I want to share something with you. Manna will sustain you. Rhema will change you. Manna will sustain you. Rhema will change you. So we want to go from one to the other. Has everybody got it? We are in a powerful season right now. I can't express it enough. I just want you to get ready for what's about to happen. Everybody get your surfboards out. Holy surfboards. Make sure they're anointed. Waxed up with the anointing oil. Because we're about to go surfing here shortly. Big time. But we're about to see a lot of things happen in this country. Much. And not only in this country, but globally. Wisdom. Wisdom tells you what to do. Cry out for wisdom. Cry out for discernment. Cry out for understanding. Cry out. And give that heart daily for the heart of Christ, so that He can build a holy habitation in us and through us. We're there. Let's stay there and get ready for the next move. Amen. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We thank you. We are honored and blessed to be your children. We thank you for opening the scriptures to us. We thank you for Rhema, for life changing. We thank you for the price of your Son and everything that you've done and everything that you're doing. Because we know we can do nothing without you, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, I'm asking your blessing, your favor, and your protection on this seed that was parted, that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory. Meet every need for your children in healing, deliverance. Sever them from the entanglements and affairs of this world. Loose them from the depths and deceptions. And restore to them their first love in every area. Their first love, you, Master, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.